All right, let's take a look at Psalm 93. Psalm 93. There are more people than bulletins today, so if you're a couple, give one up. And who needs a bulletin? Okay. That's it, all right. Okay, Psalm 93. Psalm 93. Verse 1, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look into this psalm and see your kingship, Lord, may all our fears, all our pride, all our concerns melt away as we see that you are sovereign over all things. We pray, Father, that as this year commences, that we would truly understand that you are the King and that you ought to be in our lives King and even of this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the devotions on Psalm 93. Now, we've seen some of the Psalms already. 90 talks about how all our miseries in life is a result of sin. Right? Why do we have misery? Well, because of our sin and because of sin in the world. And it shows us how we really need God's grace. Psalm 91, that talks about when there's disaster, when there's danger, we can go to the Lord. Then Psalm 92 tells us that we should delight in God above all other things. Now Psalm 93 tells us, in summary, that we should look at our lives, all that happens in our lives, in light of who God is. And not we look at God in light of what happens in our lives. You know, there are countless people who talk about the problem of evil and suffering. They say, oh, because there's evil, because they're suffering, there cannot be a good God. So they define God based on what they see. Well, that's wrong. You know, the Bible tells us that God is good. And that's why the suffering in the world is a result of sin. And it's a result of sin in the world. It's a result of our sin. You know, no doubt in life we will feel overwhelmed. But if we look to our situation, we will grow in despair. We will continue to be overwhelmed, but if we look to God and let our lives fall in, there will be a different response. So this is, you know, really ties into our theme of the year, where we are all trying and ought to be rooting out, processing out idols from our hearts. Right? And once we look at God, right, these idols we can process out. But if we don't look to God, then we will always be looking at our idols. So this psalm basically teaches, in summary, that in every area of our life, especially when it comes to trials, we must look at our lives in the light of God. Now, there are 3 points. Firstly, God is our sovereign. Secondly, while life is unpredictable, God is strong. And thirdly, God is steadfast. So firstly, God is our sovereign. Now, we know the theology about God's sovereignty, right? We know that God is sovereign, but this is more specific. This teaches us that God is a sovereign. God is a king. Now, this we see in verses 1 to 2. Verses 1 to 2, it says, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting." So this is a picture here which talks about God reigning. He is clothed with a robe of majesty. A majesty, of course, you know, your majesty. It's a term that talks about royalty. And we see the word in verse 2, throne. So this is a picture of a coronation ceremony. The king is robed in kingly vestments. Right, he is going to appear before his subjects. And so the psalmist is essentially saying that God, who is he? What is he? He's a king. He is a majesty. He is sovereign. He is reigning. He's in charge. And we learn here that his rule is not uncertain. It's not insecure. And really, this ought to make a difference, right, to us. Now, what we want to see is that God, right, is king. You learn all from the Old Testament, right, that God rules. Jesus as the theophany, Jesus as a king, he rules with all of his might. Now, in the beginning, we see in the Old Testament, God is a king. And that is why Israel had no king, but God. So when Israel started to say, "Oh, we want a king like all the other nations," what did God say? "Sure? You sure you want a king like all the other nations? Well, the king, according to all the other nations, he'll take your kids. He'll take your wealth. That is how he'll rule over you." Because ultimately, who was their king? Their king was God. God was their king. And the way he rules over them is with righteousness. It's with graciousness. Right? Now, at this present moment, is God ruling the world? The answer is yes, God is ruling the world. He's ruling the world by his Spirit, by his Word. And the place where he especially rules the world is the church. But there will come one day when God will rule the world with his sword. You know, at that last day when Jesus comes again and he wipes all of his enemies out with the sword. And we see this in Psalm 2. The psalmist already tells the people, "Oh, be wise." Right? Kiss the Son. Bow down. Kiss. Right? Give him obeisance lest he be angry. And what will he do one day? He will destroy, right? Psalm 2 is very specific. He will come with a rod of iron. And what will he do with that rod of iron? He will smash up the nations like a potter's vessel. That's what we're told. God is a king. And of course, this psalm here is speaking about Jesus. You know, one day, as we're told even in Philippians, one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what do we see in Philippians 2? It talks about not only in the heavens above, not only the earth below, but also under the earth. Everyone will be worshiping Jesus as king. So those who have rejected Jesus in hell for an eternity, not as God's people, but as God's prisoners and the ones suffering because of their sins, they will be worshiping Christ. All right? So God is a sovereign. Jesus is a sovereign. Now, not only does he rule the church, and not only in the future will he rule the world, but we are told in Colossians that everything in the world is held together by Christ. Right? There's nothing that goes on in the world that Christ is not in control of. John 1 tells us that he created all things. There's nothing that exists that was not created by him. And everything that happens today, he holds it together. Now, if without Christ, the world will be in utter chaos, right? We all think, the world, you know, does it revolve or rotate? What is it? Around the sun. But does it rotate or revolve? Okay, it revolves and it rotates around the sun. Is that what it is? Or it revolves around the sun? Well, whatever it is. Okay, we all think, you know, all the planets are held together because of the sun's gravity. And the sun rotates around the center of the galaxy because of the gravitational pull. And all the galaxies are probably rotating around something. Right? And we think that it's gravity that holds everything together. Right? Baloney. It's Christ. Christ holds everything together. Right? And that should be a very comforting thought to us. Secondly, God is strong. God is strong. Verses 3 to 4, it says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." Now, this is interesting, right? Where do you hear or where do you see that phrase, noise of many waters? Anyone remember? Okay, I can't even remember the reference, right? But it is in the book of Revelation, right? And we see that in 17:1. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, don't know how you take the book of Revelation, but here, when it talks about the great whore, it talks about, of course, the false church. If you want to lump it together, it talks about the false prophet, it talks about the Antichrist. Well, there's this falseness in the world, and it is represented also by chaos. It sits upon many waters. So in life, life is tumultuous, right? Life is full of sin. Life is full of sinful situations. You know, life is filled with tumultuous waves. It is said that the Hebrews were very afraid of the sea. One good example, of course, is Jonah. Remember when Jonah went to sea, there was a great storm. All the Hebrew sailors were very afraid. And all of the other people were very afraid because the Jews or the Hebrews, you know, they were not seafaring people, but the people who rather like the Philistines or the Phoenicians, well, they were seafaring people. So to the Jews, the sea was something very dangerous, very uncontrollable. So the psalmist here uses this illustration to show that in life, right, the floods have lifted up their voice. Floods have lifted up their waves. But there are many waves on the sea. There are many waters. But who is above? Who is above? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. You know, we're singing some hymns just now, Peace Like a River and Our Great Savior. All these things talk about, right, the tumultuous seas, right, the billows. That hymn that we sung, It Is Well With My Soul, I think all of you know the story, right? It's about that guy whose family, after he lost all his money in the Great Chicago Fire, right, they were going to sail to London, and while they were on the Atlantic Sea, their ship sunk. And so, you know, after losing everything in the fire, and now his family except for, I think, one person, no, all were lost. All of his family members were lost. So he took a ship, and when the ship arrived at the spot where, his family ship had sunk, he penned these words that whatever it is, you know, though sea billows roll, though tempests may blow, but it is well with my soul. Why? Because our great God is above. He is stronger than any other thing. He is stronger. God is a mighty God. Not only is he a king, but he is a mighty king. Now, so this brings comfort to us, because whatever we struggle with now, it is a result of sin in the world. It is a result of our sin, perhaps. God is a king. He holds everything together. And whatever we are going through is ordered by him. And he is mighty. He is strong. We are above it. Because, as Psalm 91 tells us, he will not let us. He will not let us down. He will take care of us. But thirdly, what we see is that God is steadfast. God is steadfast. Verse 5 says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." So this psalmist here is teaching that not only is God a sovereign, not only is he strong, but God acts with steadfast integrity. He is steadfastly holy. You know, how many kings or public servants have we heard of that have fallen into immorality? But God can't. He will do all his holy will. And so we learn here that his strength is always used for what is right. His strength is always used for what is just, what is holy. So our troubles that we go through, even in this year, it is not greater than God. But our troubles, because he is king, they are used by him and ordered by him for a just and good end. All that happens to us, we learn here, is not, at least to his people, it is not meant to destroy, but it is meant to build up. Because God, his holiness becometh thine house. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you are a mighty king. You are a sovereign. And this year, we want to afresh to submit ourselves unto you. All things that happen are under your control. And you are mighty. You are above the troubles that we go through. You mean them for our good. And we thank you, Lord, that you are righteous and steadfastly so. And all of these troubles that we go through and will go through this year is not meant to be untoward us, but it is meant for our growth. So we commit ourselves into your hands. So we pray that you will bless our time of prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.